Good morning and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well. I can see that we are well out of apron weather.
I know.
We're not in apron weather anymore.
I didn't put one on.
You don't need the extra.
I'm like rebelling.
It's good. It's good to keep up that attitude, I think, throughout our lives. It's good to be prepared to resist whatever it is.
I'm evolving from being a marsupial with my constant pockets in front.
Oh, my gosh. I don't need any more pockets. They're always, you know, I wish I had a dollar for every time my Kleenex has gone through the laundry. That would be good. Or yeah. Actually my dollar, for that matter.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. No more pockets. Oh. I love that we are looking at sunshine out the window.
Oh, it's so gorgeous.
I know.
Too gorgeous to wear an apron.
Absolutely.
It's
it is.
It's just beautiful.
Although I'm sure you have a summer apron. It isn't really summer. It's spring, but it seems like it's bona fide spring now.
Well, this morning, you know what I thought? I don't have a Cinco de Mayo apron.
Oh.
I should have one. I have a friend whose birthday is Cinco de Mayo, and he's already knee-deep into margaritas. So lucky.
Yeah, so lucky. Yeah. What have you been cooking?
Well, I have been trying, and not even on purpose, but like salad sandwiches. And in doing it, I realized I should have made them wraps. Like, that's what I should have done.
Oh, yeah.
That they're a lot more, like, fitting for wraps. But I think that what I've been trying to do is, you know how when you find something that the sum is greater than its parts?
Yes.
That's, I think, kind of what I've been looking for. So I have said before that the internet lies.
Yes.
And it does.
Yes.
And so it is also prone to hyperbole.
Yes.
And so
am I. So
No, you're not.
I think it's a misdemeanor.
No, you have not 100,000 times said, this is the best thing I've ever
yes.
had. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I'm like,
I immediately think that's the author's best friend.
Yeah. Or yes. Or it's a lie,
yeah.
You know, just to get clicks, or AI wrote it. And I got to learn my lesson. Anyway, there was this recipe. And it just looked like there's no possible way it could be the best sandwich she'd ever had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why did I try it? Why? But it was essentially three bean salad mushed up with, you know, that old timey three bean salad in
yeah.
a vinaigrette.
Yeah.
With sprouts on bread. And that's all it was.
When you say mushed up, you mean like refried beans mushed
no,
up?
No, just kind of. Smashed a little bit with a fork, so
okay.
there was still a lot of beans, but it was just easier to
yeah.
stick into the sandwich.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it would have been a lot better in a wrap. But it was three bean salad plus sprouts plus bread. It was not in any way anything other than that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense that it would be the best thing anybody
I
ever
know.
Ate.
Why didn't I listen to my brain? I have it up there for a reason, not just to, like, run my lungs and heart. But I didn't. I didn't listen to it. And so, no, that was stupid. Mostly because I had everything except the sprouts. And sprouts are expensive. I hardly ever buy them. And I think that was it because I like them.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, I'll make this sandwich with sprouts. I'll go get some sprouts. Sprouts are good, you know.
Yeah.
So that was stupid.
Well.
I could have made a way better sandwich.
Yeah. So, but it got you on the trail of salad sandwiches.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And spoiler, I just really didn't find anything that wasn't that was greater than the sum of its parts. It was all just all the parts on bread, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing that really sang or nothing that even I would really ever want to make again.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Well,
isn't this a sucky radio show?
You know, like a chicken Caesar wrap is pretty tasty.
Yeah. But I'd had that before. You know who I like that woman who I wish to God she would say her name so I knew how to say it,
yeah.
but she never does. Justine Yaron.
She's great.
Yeah, I don't know how to say her name.
She's making her wedding cakes.
Yes, she got married Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes, so cool. And anyway, she had this snow pea and tuna thing salad.
Oh.
And it was good, but it was just its parts, you know? It
yeah.
just wasn't anything that... And I really like most of the things. So it's like snow peas and tuna, red onions. She had some pickled Basque peppers, but I just don't have those laying around. So I used, you know, peppercini.
Yeah.
And then mayo, mustard, lemon juice, sugar, dill, chives. I didn't have chives, so I used scallion, salt, and pepper. And it was good, but it just tasted like salad on bread.
Yeah.
You know?
You can add almost anything. There's so many things you can add to tuna, and it's still just tuna, although I love tuna salad. I do.
Yeah.
But I will shop through the refrigerator and add anything that seems like it would be okay in there. But it isn't. It's still just tuna.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was very vegetable forward. It was kind of like the tuna was a condiment. Not really. Not condiment, but just it wasn't the main thing. And so I think that was part of it, that it just tasted like a salad. But I like tuna salad too. I mean, I think it's just the kind that you normally make with mayo, a little bit of mustard, pickle relish, celery, onion. I mean, I really like that. I put red pepper in it too. And that I think is better than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
But anyway, so no success there. Did you wear a fascinator for the Kentucky Derby, dear?
Oh, no, nor more importantly, sadly, I did not drink a mint julep.
No.
Which I do love. I mean, I'm not a sweet cocktail fan usually, but mint julep, pretty tasty.
Yeah. And fresh mint is delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I think it might never be too late for a mint julep. But that would have been the moment.
The Thanksgiving Derby. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, have you ever heard of this thing called Benedictine?
Yes.
Well, I never had. So I was reading an article about the Kentucky Derby and what people were wearing and what they were eating. And there's, you know, all the regular stuff, mint juleps and hot browns and stuff. But they mentioned this Benedictine stuff. And all I'd ever heard of is the liqueur Benedictine.
Right, exactly.
I'd never heard of this.
And the monks.
Oh, yeah, them.
And the monks who made it.
Make it. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so I tried making some. And it was, it just tasted like old-timey potato chip dip, you know?
It's, yeah.
So it's, if anybody else out there has never heard of it, if I might be the only person on earth, the way that the article was sounding, oh, the quintessential, it used words like that, the quintessential Derby, you know,
well,
dip.
Well, you know, if you write regularly, you got to line up those adjectives.
Yes. Good Lord. Just like there's like this like, you know, what do you call it? Just everybody is so superlative.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Benedictine. So it's cream cheese, grated, drained, squeezed cucumber, scallions, Tabasco sauce, salt, pepper, and mayo. And that's what it is.
If it weren't for the Tabasco and mayo, it would be raita.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess, you know,
no,
yogurt.
Cheese. It just tasted like super thick tzatziki, kind of, except no dill.
Yeah, yeah, that's
but
it.
That's kind of what it was. So, but it was just a thing. I can see, like, if you had it since when you were a child, that it would be a sentimental thing. And I feel the same way about, what's that cheese thing that they have in the South? That
pimento cheese?
Yeah, pimento cheese. I kind of feel the same way about pimento cheese. I wasn't served it, you know, ever until I was like in my 30s. And so I just have no place in my heart for it. And it's just this thing, sloggy
but
thing.
You came up with in Minnesota, and there must be regional things there that the rest of us didn't grow up with and would think are very odd.
I think, well, not odd. Well, there's weird things that I didn't like ham balls. That's a thing at church suppers, and those are gross. They're like you make sort of like this meatloaf type thing with ham, and there's graham crackers in it. That should tell you everything you need to know. But people, I mean, just they've
go
had
crazy
them
for
like
it.
Ham balls, woohoo! Driving fast, you know. But I think the main thing in Minnesota is wild rice.
Oh, right.
And I adore it. And I'm a snob about it. I mean, I order mine from this guy in Minnesota. You know, it's perfect. It's not farmed. You know, it's just great. And so, I love it.
I just ordered two packages of Oregon wild rice.
Oh, yeah?
One for you and one for me. I'm picking them up Thursday because I haven't had Oregon grown wild rice.
Okay.
I think we should try it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what part of Oregon it's from.
Can you see my nose? It's flying up in the air. I'm such a snob.
Well, you. I hope in defense of your defensiveness, this is really awful.
No, no, it won't be. No. And I just really, really like wild rice in a way that I wouldn't if I was introduced to like black rice, you know, the first time I had black rice. You know, it's wonderful, but it doesn't have a place in my heart, the things you had as a child. Oh,
really, that's the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's the truth of all kinds of art, and I consider what we eat a form of art, that the emotional component of it is key to our experience. Yeah. It's key.
So my mom was not a cook at all. And the things that, let's see, that she gave us when we were children, that she fed us, the three main things were hot dogs, SpaghettiOs, and boxed macaroni and cheese. Now, I hate SpaghettiOs. I just do. I can't even look at a can. Oh, my gosh. But my brothers loved them, so that was great. So I ate so much macaroni and cheese. And so the other day, I got like a fancy brand of boxed macaroni and cheese, and I made it. And just to let you know what an awesome cook I am, I'm stirring, you know, the powdered the powdered cheese in with the milk and a little bit of butter, and I broke the sauce.
What?
How do you do that? I know that you started to say, I didn't even know that was possible. And I didn't either. I mean, you know, I broke macaroni and cheese powdered sauce. Isn't that something?
I think that that's probably a record-setting event.
I know. Record-setting incompetence. I turned my dumb dial up to 11.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that sad? But, yep, that's I did that.
Visions of our childhood. My husband likes box macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And there are times when I will make that for him because I know that he likes it. And because it's one person eating that, I can redo it in a variety of ways over the next couple of days and get away with it. Because you can toss that on the griddle with eggs and whatever.
Oh, that's so fancy.
And have that as a side. And and it, you know, it's good refried.
Yeah.
Define good. So anyway, I tried a new recipe. And you know, I think I've mentioned this to you before. Whenever I set a plate in front of my husband and say, I tried a new recipe, there's often a pause. And then either nothing or calm attempt to be positive about the impending experience, because you know it could go either way. And sometimes it's just me not being intuitive about a new recipe and not having given it its due.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's because the internet lies.
Yes.
And sometimes it just doesn't turn out to be his cup of tea. But sometimes it's really good. And I tried a recipe since I saw you last, that is one I will do again.
Oh, really? You're so lucky.
I know. I feel really lucky. It was a gochujang prawn pasta, and it made me use a couple of things that I very rarely do, and that is prawns. I don't do a lot of prawns because I don't feel good about the industry.
Okay.
And as far as I know, the only prawns that are from Oregon are the tiger prawns.
Okay.
And I think they're seasonal.
Okay.
So, and you never see those. Maybe I should check local fish market. You don't ever see them with all of the array of frozen prawns you can choose from in like a supermarket.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I don't know. They're delicious. But usually we're looking at things that came from South America, came from the Gulf, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I tried this. And I often don't make other kinds of pasta because Tom likes spaghetti or bucatini with a meat sauce, a red sauce. Okay. He's a red sauce pasta guy.
Yeah.
And I like, whenever possible, to make him what he likes. But this was, it turned out to be really good. I will eat pretty much anything with gochujang in it.
Yes, I know that. It's delicious.
And you can use, I mean, they suggested that it could also be you could use sriracha if you didn't have gochujang. You could, you know, a variety of things, harissa. But it was really good with gochujang. And so I will definitely make that again. And also it made me think that I need to expand my pasta repertoire because Tom really liked that.
Oh, right on.
And there are lots of things you can do with pasta that don't involve red sauce.
Yeah.
Quickly, Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. You know you need to go there, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. I'm not going to belabor the point. Just go there.
Do it.
That's your assignment. Between now and a couple of weeks from now, when we come back on Food Talk, there will be a quiz. Go there. You'll be happy. Anyway, I was very happy about that. And I'm happy about asparagus. Are you eating lots of it lately?
Yeah, I just love it. And the thing that I do 90% of the time is grill it because I just really like it that way. I'm generally grilling something. I've been grilling a lot of turkey burgers. I really like turkey burgers. And it's just you stick it on the side of the grill, you know. Hey, maybe I want to talk about burgers because so many things I made this week just kind of sucked and the burgers didn't.
Oh, yeah.
It was just trying new recipes. And like I said,
yeah,
none of them were in any way inspirational or, you know, likeable.
Yeah.
But I went to a party Saturday and I had a burger that was really awful. And you forget that burgers can be awful.
Yeah.
So the way that I make a burger, and I like my burgers, are I take a third of a pound of turkey or beef. You can make other burgers too, but that's generally what I use. And then you taught me with your delicious meatloaf that it's really important not to manhandle hamburger. And that's really true. Any ground meat, you just don't squish it around really, you know, a lot. You just handle it as little as you need to. And so I spread it into a patty that's a little bit wider than my bun diameter. And I make it so it's thinner in the middle than it is out at the edges. So I'm not like making a bagel, but it kind of looks like a red blood cell, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it's thinner in the middle because when you cook it, you know how when you get a hamburger, it's always like domed up in the middle?
Yep.
Well, it was, you know, flat.
And dry on the edges.
Yeah, it's always flat and even. When it starts cooking and then it domes up. So if you make it thinner in the middle, it's all going to be the same once it's done. So I do that and then I heat my grill high. I mean, I get it really, really hot. And I brush the hamburgers with oil. I just use vegetable oil, but you can use any oil except for, of course, like, I don't know. I can't think of an oil you can't use. Oh, motor oil. And then I just use like Montreal seasoning on one side.
Okay.
But you could season them anyway, just as long as they've got a decent amount of seasoning on them. And then I don't oil my grill. I've brushed some oil on the hamburger and I just on both sides and I put it on the grill. And then I let it sit about 3 minutes and then I flip it over and let it go about 3-4 more minutes until, you know, it just seems like it's done. And not had the bejesus burned out of it, but
yeah,
you know, until it's done and it's still juicy. I don't press on them to squeeze the juice out. Why would you do that?
I don't know. I do not know.
Just let it cook. And then the last minute I just put a slice of cheese on top and so it's melted by the time that it's done.
So you're not a smash burger fan.
You know, I think they're delicious, but you need a flat top to do that.
That's
you
right.
You can't do it on the grill.
That's right.
Yeah. And I actually just got one of those outside grills.
You got the griddle?
That's so funny that you mentioned it. I've seasoned it, but I haven't used it yet. So it's that like 36-inch flat-top cast iron.
Uh-huh. It's a griddle.
Like in a restaurant, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty excited to try that. I just haven't had the guts yet.
I use mine all the time. Used it yesterday. I use it all the time because it is my version of a sheet pan dinner or a one pot dinner.
Yes.
It's one utensil to clean that you can cook everything on, assuming that what you're cooking, the meal you're cooking, all needs to be cooked in that way. But breakfast especially, almost everything needs to be cooked that way, depending on what you're doing.
But then I think it's so much better than a sheet pan dinner because if something is done, you can pull it off.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're not opening up the oven and letting all that heat out. So
and
that,
you can baste and you can flip.
Steam. And
yeah, I like it
a lot.
I use mine so much that over the years I have really mostly scraped off the two ends of it that I use most often are silver now.
Oh,
but
interestingly enough, so am I.
Huh. Oh, we all are. I speak for all of us. I will say that I'm with you on asparagus, and I use my flat top for that.
Oh, really?
I lightly steam them, and then I throw them on the flat top and char them a little bit on all their little sides. And, you know, I did them as a side for dinner recently and served them with butter and lemon and toasty almonds. And then the next day we had leftovers because I always do the entire bunch. And just cold dipped in curry mayo. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah.
So that's what I like about grilling them is getting that little bit of charred bit. And if you get that with the flat top, that's just perfect.
Yeah. I don't have a grill. But the flat top just works great. You're going to love yours so much.
I'm so excited.
I've been wondering, before you got here this morning and I was making my obligatory two notes about what I might be able to talk about, I was thinking, you know, I get so, I didn't get to the point where I actually looked for something new to do, but I did make the list of what I already do to see about breakfast, which is one of the two meals I actually cook in a given day. And I am, you know, I go through these periods of being really bored with it where I feel like I'm cooking the same thing every day. Mm-hmm. And when I made a little list of the things that I would make in any given week for breakfast, I came up with like 7 things that are a regular rotation. So I guess I could just, you know, put that
put that on the fridge.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Every Monday, start at the top again.
Well, I mean, a lot of people do that with all their meals, you know.
I do it with
breakfast. They've got a monthly rotation.
It's so weird.
I think it's smart.
Well, I mean, it's mindless, and I have honed the list down to things that I happen to know Tom likes.
Yeah.
But I'm just stumped about new things. We are not really French toast hotcake people, so
yeah.
There's, you know.
Have you ever found like an overnight oats recipe that you don't have to cook that works?
Define works. I haven't found one I like.
Okay, no, me either. And I would really like to find one that I like. I would like to be able to just stick oatmeal in a slurry of something and have it turn into cooked oatmeal with some amount of time in between.
Yeah.
But I haven't found anything.
I haven't either. And I cook oatmeal probably once a week in one, either rolled oats or steel cut oats.
Yeah.
And toss a, you know, heaping spoonful of applesauce in there or something like that.
Yeah. And Dale, he will also cook oatmeal, you know, if I'm not up or something. And he has in his mind, and I don't get it, but he's got like this need to use the smallest pan possible.
Oh, yeah.
And so then you've got it all boiling over. And I don't know why, but it's just like this macho thing. Look, I used this thimble. But it boils all over. And then you've got to deal with that crust on the stove. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah. And it's glue.
Yeah. It's cement. It's really something.
You need to hide the small pans.
Oh, yeah. That'll be easy.
Yeah, right. I know.
But I mean, I do make it in a pretty large pan. I mean, it might even look ridiculous, but it's just so it doesn't have any chance of going up and over.
Yeah.
And then all I do is put the pan in the dishwasher. I'm not on the stove for, you know, 10 minutes, but 10 minutes.
I do use a small pan, but I'm making a small amount.
Yeah.
I'm making a half cup of rolled either kind of oats and 2.5 times as much water. So it's nowhere near the top of the pan. But I do then have that pan.
Mm-hmm.
And because I only do dishes once a night for the whole day, I can just put it in the sink, fill it up with water, and use it to soak silverware as the day goes by. And by the time I'm through it, ready to wash it, everything is just happy to come out. Very happy to come out.
That's smart.
anyway, yeah, oatmeal, it's such a good thing.
Yeah, it really, really is. It's delicious.
Yeah.
I would like to find a way. You know, I wonder if, I mean, oh my God, my brain, I'm so, I bet if I use Quick Oats, I bet that would be a lot easier way to, the instant ones, but the quick ones. Yeah. I bet they would be more likely to be good if you tried to do an overnight oat thing, you know?
I wonder. I haven't even explored the recipes because
they all lie. I'm not making it up. It's really something.
Well, some really people that we would normally rely on to have good information.
That's true.
Have recipes for overnight oats. I don't know.
No, that's really smart too. I mean, I clearly haven't thought it through. I'm just like la 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 on the internet, and then I'm like, ooh, overnight oat recipe. Yeah. And then I go try it, and you get up in the morning, you're like, ooh, this is a chewy breakfast, which isn't what you wanted, you know?
No.
It's not a desired attribute to oatmeal.
No. Plus, I like it hot.
Yeah.
I like hot oatmeal with a little pat of butter on it after you put it in the bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. And some brown sugar and milk.
Yeah.
That traditionalist.
That is perfect.
Yeah, it is quite really perfect. Well, we are coming into, we're not that far from berry season.
Oh, I know. I am beside myself. There's nothing I like better than a fresh strawberry pie.
Oh.
That's just right. Such a treat. It's such a celebration, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pain to make because you got to make the crust. You got to make the pastry cream. You got to make the whipped cream. You got to do the strawberries. You got to have the apricot glaze. But man, I think it's worth it. It's one of the first like ambitious things that I ever made. I mean, I was like in high school and I destroyed the kitchen. But yeah, I really, really like it.
Well, I've never made a strawberry pie. But I have used strawberries in the process of creating something, but mostly I just sit in my car and eat them before I head home.
I only bought one pint, honey.
Don't pay any attention to that half case cardboard box.
I couldn't carry it by itself.
It is really, it's a reason to celebrate for sure. Do you ever make strawberry sauce or strawberry coulis or anything?
Yes.
Or any kind of berry coulis.
Yes. Yes. And compote is what I make. And really for sure right now without having it written down in front of me know the difference between all of them. But the compote that I make has a little bit of butter in it.
Oh.
And that just really seems to just really do it. It just makes it so silky and so beautiful. And so that's the one that I always make.
Okay. I'm not sure about the difference either, although I think compote implies to me, correctly or not, that there are some bits of fruit in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas coulis is really a syrup, more of a syrup kind of thing.
Yeah.
But however you do it, if you have really good fresh local berries of any flavor, it's the best.
One year I bought all the different blackberries that I possibly could, and I made jam out of all of them. So like things like black caps are not that delicious if you eat them, but with a little bit of sugar, oh my gosh, they are great.
They are
so
great.
So then I actually had 12 different kinds, and you could taste how each blackberry was different, because strawberries, different kinds just taste more strawberry-y.
And
raspberries, different kinds, just they have more flavor or less. But blackberries, they're all different from each other. And it's such a fun challenge to find a mix, to get the mix of blackberries that you like the best, you know?
Something to look forward to, and not very long from now.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll be
so
getting
exciting.
I know, it's May.
I know.
It's Cinco de Mayo.
The sun's
Happy
out.
Cinco, everybody.
Arriba!
We're almost out of time.
Aww. That means we get to go outside. Yay!
I know. Instead of just looking at it through the window. Yeah. I hope all of you get out there for a minute. Want to sing us out?
Okay. I'm driving my vegetables around in the sun. I'm driving my green vegetables around in the sun. I'm driving my vegetables in the sun around. I am driving my sunny broccoli. I'm driving my sunny cauliflower. Driving a bushel of sunny, sunny, sunny corn home in the sun.
When we're eating fresh berries, it's just time to think about corn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great week.